Fifth standard grudge.
What kind of meeting is
this? This is the Pioneers Golden Days meeting.
Douglas Culp, attending the Pioneers Golden Day meeting at the Standard Garage.
Paul Drammon, president of Igloo Number 4 Pioneers of Alaska. We're attending one of the meetings here preparatory to finalizing our plans for the Golden Days celebration for the 1960 year.
Adolf Stock, committee member of the Golden Days Committee. Well, Leo Schlotfeld and Stanley Olczewski are not present at this time.
This is Harry Hughes. Now we'll proceed to start a little discussion and find out what we're going to do.
This is our first meeting on this.
I see.
There's been no previous meeting.
Have you lined up anything from
No.
Where it'll be. Then we'll take the next subject.
Have you got any of those old tickets left from last year, Adolf?
You don't even have to pick that up, Adolf. You can leave it there right now.
I don't even know. Is there any tickets left or not?
The printer will have a copy of that.
What's his name? You were in charge of that last year.
So here's the gold we had left over. There is
a convention, then you want to know who you're talking to.
Yeah, a little bit of safety.
You stick that and put that
through. And you put it right on the palliator.
Well, we'll see what we can find. We'll look into it.
Yeah, I don't know where they got these, but those have been practically down.
Because there aren't very many. So you take about 4,000, if there's any left for next year.
Oh, man, you don't need no 4,000 pictures.
No, they ain't that many.
Well, the money, man, I bet we didn't put out 3 6.
Now look here, there's the women, you see.
Well, can I go to them and have them come pick out the gold with me? I'll pick out the gold. That'll be my job, to go find the nugget.
Yes.
Either a nugget or a poke, whichever you get.
It's going to be hard to find a nugget.
We put out a feeler now.
$350.
Average.
But last year we put out a $350, didn't we?
It was close to $400.
The $400.
$385, wasn't it?
We called it a $400 poke of gold for the first prize. Then we had $100. $100.
No.
They were all
little coke.
A little bottle, you remember, vial. And then we had $50. So there was 4, 1, and 50.
Made it $450.
That is right.
No, I mean,
last year. Well, you got about as much to start with as we had last year. I think Dixie had
then
either 40 or 50.
Then you need some panning gold.
Well, this is panning gold.
Yes.
This
how
is
much
panning
gold. Did you buy last year?
$100,
what was it?
No, bought more than that. We bought about $200 and some worth of panning gold. And we took in $400 and some. So there is revenue right there. We got $42.
I'll take care of the gold then. You've got about enough of that to start right there.
Not enough to start.
It ain't? How much do you think you want? Estimate it.
We had $250 last year.
For fine gold.
For panning.
Panning gold.
For panning gold, right.
And then we have two prizes. We have a poke of gold and another one.
That's for these tickets that you're selling.
$450. $450 top, and then $100 for the next prize. Is that what it was?
No, it's $100. It's $400 for the poke of gold, $100 for the next prize, and $50 for the second.
That's right.
$550.
Now, I think if you have
$550.
$550 is the total amount, estimated amount.
Yeah, and then $250 fine gold is $800.
Somewhere that is all in those books and records. You find that.
Yeah. Okay.
See,
Is it correct
if you stay below $500?
Yeah. But it's correct if I get a hold of Frank, Young or Dixie Hall, and go with me and make arrangements to get the gold. If I locate it first. Yeah, I locate it first. Okay. Because mm-hmm. I'll find out who's hoarding up some. Maybe Harry Abacoff's got some hoarded up. I don't know.
Before you buy the gold, I mean, after you buy the gold, then let me know what it'll be, if it is a nugget or if it's a poke.
So you can print the ticket.
I'll tell you what, you're going to have a hard time finding a nugget. Because, and if you do, you're going to pay a premium.
That's right.
They want because they can almost get, what's his name, George Bujanich knows pretty well, and he says, if you get a nugget any other than from some old-timer that's willing to give it to you at, we'll say, $32 an ounce, that's willing to donate, because he says they can get $60 an ounce
They
for
can,
a nugget.
Yeah, that's
correct. What's the difference? Why not get him a 5 or 6 ounce nugget and pay the premium? That's good enough.
But I know.
Then you have a job selling those tickets.
You'll not sell the tickets. I've had a lot of experience in selling and raffle. I've been in this racket for so long that I know, take for instance out of the Fair Association. We had, we never raffled a car. There was only 1 year that we raffled a car that was more than $3,500. And 1 year we raffled a Windsor Deluxe Newport, and that cost the fair board around $4,100. So, I maintain that people do not buy tickets because they're getting an automobile, or they buy it because they want to help the pioneers. Okay. The people, when they buy car tickets on a raffle at the Fair Association, they buy them because they want to help the fair, not because they think they're going to win a Cadillac Imperial or the car. And last 3 years ago, when I was still on the board, I was absent. When I was absent two meetings, when they decided that the board decided they was going to get a cattle, and when I got back to the next meeting, they had already voted this in. So after I heard the reading of the minutes, and when it come under the order to alterations and corrections of the minutes, and I said, well, I said, I don't want to alter or correct them. I said, I want to make a motion right now that the action of the previous meeting of the board of directors be stricken from the minutes, and that we do like we always had, call for bids on a car not to exceed $3,200. Because it's as sure as you raffle a $7,000 automobile, I said, the records show that we have never sold over $7,500. Now, I says, you're obligating yourself for a $6,700 automobile. And I says, if you sell $6,700 worth, you break even, don't you? But I says, you sell $6,700, and I says, I don't care whether it's a Studebaker, whether it's a Plymouth, whether it's a Ford, or any of those cars.
So right.
Even though the motion had been passed to, and it already investigated and already verbally obligated itself by a Cadillac, I said, it doesn't make no difference to me, I said, whether you're obligated. He said, they haven't bought it. And he said, well, if you're going to get one, you'll have to order it right now because it's, you know, they're scarce. I said, baloney. I said, that the fair board still decides after this meeting, when it come up for discussion. I says, I'll get them a Cadillac. I says, it won't take no 3 months. And I says, you won't have to pay no $6,500. I says, this is my business. I says, I know what you can buy these cars for. I says, any dealer will sell you a Cadillac anywhere in the continental United States off of this showroom floor right now, I says, for probably $150 to $200 over his cost. Yes. Now I says, there's no reason for paying a dealer that kind of price for a Cadillac. So anyhow, by golly, they finally, I got a second to the motion, and of course then after that, they called for the question, and by golly, there was only one dissenting vote that came up to rescind the action and cancel the Cadillac. That year, we made $3,700 last year on a Plymouth, because I feel this way. That year, I put in my bid. The car cost me about $3,200 landing, and I put it into the fair board for $2,900 and some dollars, $2,950. I figured that was my donation.
For advertising, yeah, sure.
Right then and there for advertising.
Well, the manufacturer give you those too.
So, the meeting we had, I worked along that year to come to the annual meeting, and I resigned from the board. And they said, well, what do you want to resign for? Well, I said, I'm apparently thorn in some people's flesh on this organization. I said, I just as leave not be a part of it. I said, I don't want the thing to go to pieces as a result of the pressure that I might bring to bear and things that I know about. And I said, maybe I'm completely wrong on this. I said, maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe off of the wheel. So I said, the best thing for me to do is step out and let a new organization run it. So I did. I resigned.
Now,
and the next year ago then, after I got over a year ago, they raffled off the cattle. They sold just exactly the same amount. They sold 4,500, just about the same amount of tickets. They obligated themselves for a $6,500 car, and they lost $1,850. Now they're convinced. Now they're coming back. Now they even want to come back. What do I think of a? Now they're asking me what I think of a Valiant or a Corvair or what's this? The compact car. I says, you'll make more money. Mm-hmm. I says, you'll make more money. I would say just call for bids of cars not
car.
To exceed $3,000. I don't care whether it's a Plymouth, Ford, Valiant, or
a car's
or
a car.
Studebaker. A car's a car. And get a good, low-priced automobile than we ever made before.
How many tickets do you
have? I have one suggestion.
How many tickets did we have? 1,000?
On the Golden Nugget?
What was there? 2,000?
No, we had over 2,000. We had 2,500 tickets.
2,500.
But listen, Paul, let's do it this way. I mean, I would suggest that all the gold that we buy, the poke, and then the second prize, and the
third prize,
and the panning gold, let's not exceed over 500.
Oh, no, I don't
know. Your panning gold, you said runs 250, so you've got to exceed 500.
I tell you, true enough.
If you get the trouble last year.
If you go over 500, and you will have quite a lot of.
But your panning gold shouldn't even go into it because your panning gold is. Your panning gold is.
That's about what you spent last year.
I think that's too much.
Your panning gold is a
step. I'm in favor of selling a few more tickets. Then cutting down on the price.
All right, you take 3,000 tickets, say, for instance.
You see, we only sold tickets last year for less than a month. You know,
let's get the tickets as soon as possible.
How many were there?
Start selling.
How many tickets were there left? And last year was
I would have to go to work and run up everybody's that's in those records that I give.
Give him.
See that?
He's got them up the house.
Yeah.
You have to get a permit to sell these tickets too.
I might have some more in my briefcase up there. I don't know.
Don't you have to get
all that stuff to...
Well, let's complete everything here, and then we'll make an appointment for another meeting in a week from now.
We can do that.
You have to get a permit to sell these tickets.
Huh?
You have to get a permit to sell these tickets, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. Have you got your
permit? Oh, yeah.
That's up to you.
The first thing to do is
you're supposed to apply for that permit.
No, I don't have to apply.
That's up to the committee chairman.
Dixie Hall can do it. I mean, who corresponds? Who does George Plusinski do it?
Well, he didn't show up.
Well,
all right. Well, what'll I do? Go down to the tax office and see what.
Yes. Ask him what you.
Go down to the state tax office and apply for it. Get the application and fill it out. All right, I'll do that tomorrow.
Pioneers of Alaska, and if it needs my signature, why?
Okay, and then I'll bring it back to you.
You just go to work. You're the chairman of the.
Well, now that you're going to make a note of that on there.
Make arrangements for the authority to sell tickets on. Hopes of gold.
All right.
It'll cost you $10 up here.
All right, now can you tell me...
It cost you $3 for a 90-day permit.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, $3 for 90 days. Listen, that tape is going away fast.
Let's see, what do we got here?
We've only got about 70, 80 days.
Paul?
Oh, well,
then... can you tell me where to get a hold of Paul Dragovinich?
Dragovinich? The only one that I know would be George Brjanich.
Yes, he will know.
Okay, I'll see George.
He's got the. He lives in town.
All
right, now I want to ask you another question that's very important. How about the members of the committee here picking somebody to help conscript them?
Oh, that's right.
For what?
I say you're.
Oh, do these things that you don't have time to do when you're busy. Work together. When sometimes two can work better than one.
All I've done was appoint a standing committee.
Well, we've got more. We've got a float. We've got to organize a float committee.
Once you get somebody assigned to that, then he can. then he can have additional.
Now, what
how about Doug? How would you like to work on that float committee deal and get organized on that and get some of the members signed up and decide on what kind of a float you'd like?
Who did I appoint for the float committee? Do you remember? Did I?
You didn't this time.
Well, no, I wouldn't appoint again, but I just wondered.
I didn't remember of anybody.
Do you remember reading it off in the records?
No, I don't remember. But you did appoint the panner, but I don't remember about who in the float committee. That's the reason I was asking.
Well, who would we get?
Well, no, for one thing, somebody that's worked on a float before.
Well, you can check back on record.
Listen, I'll tell you what. I'm enrolled to be chairman the other. Why don't we go to work and put, Donald McDonald?
You're going to have to have the work.
I mean, Colin McDonald.
Colin would be a good one.
Colin McDonald, yes.
He'd be good. He likes that stuff.
Yeah, get Colin McDonald.
You have to have someone be the
truck. I will appoint Colin.
Well, it's his duty to find the truck.
Yeah.
There's a dozen people don't have a truck. I bet you Sig Wold will give you a truck.
The float committee.
Listen.
Three cheers.
And Colin McDonald, and he can try Sig Wold and Leo Slothfeld for a truck. Either one of them will furnish him a truck. They're both
pioneers. Mitchell.
Our Mitchell.
He's a trucker, and he's a pioneer too.
I better get Mitchell in. They never seem to get on the.
Well,
I'll tell you another one.
Give Colin the job of locating the truck and making the arrangements for that, and if he needs any help, we can help him anyhow. Right. Is that all right?
Another one you might get to help and do some work this year would be Harvey Marlin. He's a good
fit. Harvey's all right too. Yeah, Harvey would help.
You
can put that suggestion on there if you want, and Harvey Marlin to help him on the committee.
They're young in business, and they got a really good
solution. Between the trustees and the women, they take care of the mug-up.
Harvey Marlin is
your wife.
To help Colin McDonald.
And she can get together with my wife, yeah.
And between them, I know they can get a truck.
Who are those other ones we mentioned?
That's all they mentioned. Then he just mentioned the places to go to get the truck, but they'll know that. Colin will know all that stuff.
Connell will see.
That's funny for that.
He's pretty good.
All right, now those things are temporary are taken care of. Now, what is the next part?
What kind of float are we going to have?
Well, you're going to have the float committee.
Let
the float committee start picking that, and then we'll help them.
Okay.
See, we'll just do our part and let them do their part.
This is the managing body. Get out and do the work so much, you find out that you get plenty of work.
You'll have all you can do anyhow. He wished it off on me the other day.
But listen, there's one more item.
This is the working committee to appoint and to direct.
Not the way we're throwing our fists around.
Well, Louis Johnson's showing up late. What kind of a fine are we going to give him?
Louis Johnson will have to pay $5.
$5, Louis.
It's recommended that Louis Johnson pay a $5 fine. Now I'll take a vote.
Just let him
all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Oh, we'll just let him put the lights on the float.
Contrary?
That's all right.
Pass.
I didn't know.
Another $5 for not taking his hat off when he came into the door.
You say you're a lion? You got to block the lion to do that.
I've used about 35 or 40 minutes.
You know, in the bylaws of the pioneers, it provides for fines for being late.
Yeah.
Let's tell Louis what's went on so far. Adolph is going to arrange for the printing of the tickets for the gold, folks. I'm going to help arrange get the gold. And Molly Burnett here is going to arrange to see about the ribbons and badges. And the float committee, which will be Colin McDonald and Harvey Marlin, will start on that. Now, what part do you want to play in it? What can you play? What would you like to do?
Well, I don't...
You want to work with the float committee or something else?
Yes.
You have a choice.
Yeah. I have, ripples and loose boxes and rocks.
Well, no, that's Paul Dragovinovich. Now, you work with him if you do. He's they appointed him chairman, see?
Paul is the panner. He takes care of the
Have you got that down there, Dragovinovich, in charge
like
of gold
panning?
Well, Paul
George put and
him in charge of that last meeting,
George, I think. This time it's Paul.
George Gervanich in charge of the gold panning, and you mentioned him again.
Yeah, the bottom name right here. There's the whole list.
You told him the meeting before that he was...
Yeah.
You'd like to have him in charge.
But you can work on that too, but if you're going to work on the float,
yeah,
you work with Harvey Marlin or with Colin McDonald and Harvey Marlin.
I don't know. I've never seen him work on a committee before.
I say if you work on the float, you work with Colin McDonald and Harvey Marlin.
Mm-hmm.
You know him.
Yeah, Louis probably.
But you can still work with Gavinovich on the gold panning if you want to, too.
Yeah, decorations.
Well, now there's another point. How about the decorations?
Any kind of a.
They've got the Carnival Committee. Listen, Louis, the Carnival Committee has some banners that they used previous years, and if you get a hold of Kathy, he'll tell you where they are.
Fast Sewing Center.
Yeah, up at Fast Sewing Center. Go up and see him.
Nathan Cushman.
You can make arrangements to get them up at the right time.
Oh, yes. Then there's also some canes and hats. And
now, we've got to locate those.
That are over in
Frank Chappadoe's warehouse.
Frank Chappadoe's warehouse.
Canes and hats and what else is there?
At retail, they're probably
$300. Mustaches?
Estimated $300.
At Frank Chappadoe's warehouse, huh?
I
can take care of all that. I can put it down in my basement. In the bar. And
you want to want to go looking for it and pick it up?
Yeah, no, we have.
Wally Burnett will pick up all the canes.
You don't need until.
No, but I'll check and see.
Well, we want to get organized where it's at.
How much you got? There's a bunch of canes.
Maybe we find some kind of new gimmick.
You're going to take care of the hats and canes?
Now, it seems right at the last night, hats go good.
When I came ahead,
everybody gets in the spirit and they all wear these.
There's a catalog in the way you can do it.
I'll bring them down. You're down at the bar all the time?
Or just leave it there if I'm not there.
I wasn't here.
Well, I don't know that we dare trust all that stuff to other people. I'm going to talk to you when I do.
And,
well, I'm there
usually,
most of the time here.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
you we usually have three coats.
You want to put a pack on your back.
Of hats.
Well, maybe this year you're
which is you're in the red one, aren't
you? No, Mecca.
Mecca bar.
And,
otherwise,
one goes of canes because there's a bunch of them left.
You want to make a member of that? Wally's going to take care of the canes and hats.
There's one goes of hats left.
There's
one goes of hats left. So there got to be two more goes of hats. And one goes of canes. That would supply this year.
It's good to get out of
trouble.
Uh-huh.
And but we haven't got any mustaches left.
I have another thing I want to ask. How about advertising cards to put in the merchants' windows 2 or 3 weeks before time? Do we do any soliciting?
I don't think it's.
Well, do we do any soliciting? Do we get?
No,
none at all.
Never have.
Never have.
What do we solicit for?
The mug tickets, I don't know.
The mug up goes on the tickets, and that's all you have to sell.
Yeah.
Your panties right
now. But
down
the Carnival Association will do all the other advertising.
But now, here is one thing. If we don't get hats and canes, what are we going
to
give the public? So
well,
that we make a little revenue out of it.
Well, you got about 200 or 300 canes over there right now.
We got about 50 canes over there.
Well, I'll get over and find out. I'd like to
bet you right now that there are over 150.
I brought all the canes over there.
Yeah,
the
ones that were loose, but you didn't know that there was a whole box of them yet that hadn't been opened.
I sent
the thing to do is
to get out. Don't you let it talk you out of it. And I owe you.
The thing to do is to go over there and pick it up and buy inventory of the whole
thing. I don't think you have more than 50 kings over there.
I think I put it in the inventory at around $300.
Well, we spent.
Bring your book down, it's in there.
We spent not that much on hats.
Well, it's a quarter to nine, 20 minutes to nine. Do you think it's worth running up the house and get that thing now, or would you rather have the meeting?
I'd rather get the meeting.
Let's have the meeting next week again.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd rather get out because I've got to get out.
I've got business to do.
All right. Well, we've covered some ground. And
we've covered quite. We've got our basic things, and next week we'll see where we stand.
All right.
Quick from today.
Now, each one of us will try to pick somebody to help us.
All right. Now, you let me know as soon as you can about the gold.
Well, I'll take care of that tomorrow.
So I can get going out.
We might not find the gold tomorrow, right?
Will you get a hold of Chappadoe's whenever you can and have him dig that stuff out?
Yeah.
If he wants to, he can bring it down here to the garage.
I can take Harry with me, and we can go over there and load it right in this kind of station wagon, and he can take all sorts of stuff. Then we can check what we got.
I know, it's pretty doggone heavy.
We can either bring it here, or have you got another place you'd rather have it?
You people can go get it, and you can bring it there. I didn't make
it. Here or down there, wherever you want.
Well, I was figuring if I was going to order them, that I could just put them. I've got lots of room in my basement.
Okay.
It makes no difference.
Down at the Mecca?
Yeah, I can put them in there.
Where somebody
wherever
won't
you
get
want.
Them.
Oh, nobody bother them, because there's not many people go through. They're only Jander and myself and a couple other people. But if you've got someplace else that's more accessible, that's real fine.
Now, it's up to you folks to decide where you want to keep them.
Because actually, we don't have any place around here where we can keep them. You can't keep them in the hall, and you don't want to clutter them up here.
Wally, all we need is to check.
Well, let's haul them over there. Let's get them over there and see what we need. Let's don't leave nothing until last minute.
No.
We're going to be working in the last minute.
Well,
what we do now, we can have it all set. We can do a lot of other things.
All right, but look here. We got 3 months before...
Oh, no, no more. There's no more 3 months.
May, June, July.
You know, everybody waits the last minute and you never get anything done.
It's all right.
I'd like to see half of those tickets
you've
sold
only
before.
Got, 20th
even think about
month,
it.
You've only got 2 months.
That's
I don't mean the tickets. That should
you
go
fellas,
right away.
You fellas want to go over there and get them?
I will. Yeah,
or do
I'll
you want
do
me to go get them?
No, I will go and get them then. Him and
okay,
I.
Okay, then you can do whatever
and
you
well,
want.
Well, we can bring him down to his place, a good spot, like he said. He's going to order the rest of them. Let's keep it all together.
Did you say it down to the Nicobar in the
basement? Yeah, in the basement.
Yeah. And inventory the whole thing. And then
that's a good, easy place to go and get them to sell.
When can we get hold of you then?
My bartender's always got a key. I'm there almost all afternoons, anytime, or they can get a hold of me in a minute. I'm either around someplace or another meeting or something, or else I'm home or I'm there.
Well, that's all right with you then, Wally.
Oh, that's fine. That'll be real fine. I think it'll be a good place to get rid of them out of two. Actually, it won't be very much.
If they're going to use the urban renewal area for the Golden Days concessions up there, that'll be wonderful. Because
Doug, what part of this did we pick up for you? What did you think?
You don't have to wait till the night before.
We want to get you tied up with something, too, now. You're a good secretary, but we don't lose you.
You work all night to get that darn stuff in.
Now listen, fellas, talk about concessions. We have,
he got the float.
Well, now,
what we spent last year?
Now then, how many tickets are you going to bring? 3,000?
3,000.
So mug up.
It won't hurt if we have a few extra. If we can get the money, it'll be better.
And the mug up and the gold and everything runs around 17, pretty close to 1,800, and we took in 3,500 and some dollars and whatever is in here.
That's all. That thing is on.
Well, that's pretty good at that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. If we can get, well, that's something we got to work on. If we can get a good group down there, damn it, whether they know how to pan or not, get a bunch of guys that know how to pan. We could have. We took in $450 on panning last
that's
year,
what I
and
was
we could have just as well taken in $1,500.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't.
Here there was 12 tubs down there, and the people were around there wanting to pan, and
nobody to show.
And none of the guys showed up. Poor old Steve and
I got pictures of him and all of them were
friends. Can't see anymore. There was only three old guys, and Pete stayed.
If I get a little time to practice, I mean, I like to. If I get practice, I can't pan, but
well,
three or four of you guys might get on.
I know about as panning as I know about astronomy.
Yeah, but you can end up with gold in the pan, and I can't.
If I drop a little out of my arm.
Well, I'm not
something that I would work.
I'm not joking. I can pan, and I can save flake gold that floats away in the average pan. See? You have to for assay purposes. Well, you got to. It's fine. You got to save every bit. It all counts.
Pan behind the drill.
Exciting thing. They always have them.
They pan when they're dead.
Well, that's a pretty well worn out thing. There's
one man who drilled in the other guy.
We tried it out the fair.
When that driller
never got
a foot,
you got the entire foot.
You've got to be ready
for it. One year we had a nail driving contest. I bet they never won a dozen nails.
The driller
had somebody there manning the board from the nails.
You get a certain percentage in your panels.
And the guy's good.
Yeah, the longer you're thinking, you're the better.
Look at Rudy's report, man.
The Golden Days Committee of May 5th, 1960, those present were Adolph Stock, Paul Griman, Harry Hughes, Wally Burnett, and Douglas Cole. Wally Burnett will take charge of getting the ribbons, badges, canes, hats, mustaches, beards, and so forth. Adolph Stock will attend to the raffle tickets. Harry Hughes will look into getting a poke of gold and nuggets. The approximate amount spent for panning gold was $250, $400 for the poke of gold, $100 for one nugget, and $50 for another nugget. Harry Hughes well, look into getting a permit to sell tickets. Colin McDonald was appointed float chairman with Harvey Marlin as a helper. Paul Dragonovich is a panning chairman. Louis Johnston offered to work with decorations.
Now, is that complete for this evening? And then we'll call a meeting about next Thursday or Friday evening again? How about it? Set a time now, Thursday evening.
Friday evening, my Eagles meeting.
Next Thursday evening, then, and everybody can make it?
7:30 again, like today.
Yeah, be all right with me. All right,
yeah,
Paul?
All right.
All right, now that will terminate this for tonight.
Understand?
My name is Stanley Olszewski. I'm a member of this Golden Days Committee, which I was unable to attend the last meeting, and just heard the tape recording of the proceedings, and I will be there next Thursday. Well, I'm fully in accord with everything was said and done. The only omission there is that we are not stressing the point that someone has got to be around that panning stand all the time. And we have got to concentrate and find all the panners that we can possibly find, because that's where our revenue comes in from, the panning. The quicker we can pan, the more revenue we'll get in. We proved that last year. And I noticed last year, of course, we won't probably have him, but he might show up. Our past president Loftus was the best salesman that I ever seen. But we got to have people there to help. Someone's got to go to eat, and someone's got to do this. Someone's got to be relieved all the time. So anybody just not coming by and say hello and how you doing, and then you never see him again. We want someone there to stay there all the time and try to do something. So when these tickets are printed, I will take a bunch, and I wish everybody else would take all they can and try to circulate them around. I also want to remind you that we got about 500 of those reprints from the Golden Nugget newspaper from Dawson. We're selling them for 50 cents a piece last year, and our president tells him he's got about 500 of them left, so we can try to dispose of them.
Well, now, Stan, you'd like to work with the gold panning down there and sell raffle tickets too?
Yes.
And the pamphlets?
Yes. We will have a...
Now, will you contact Adolf Stock and Paul Dravanovich?
Drazanovich. Drazanovich.
Tell them that you're there to help them.
I'll try.
You'll have to help each other. That's what it amounts to.
Paul wasn't there at the meeting.
No, he didn't, so we couldn't get him.
I know approximately where he lives, and I'll try to contact him either tomorrow or Monday.
Maybe we'll get him in for next meeting.
Yeah, I try.
That'll be...
Our next meeting will be Thursday, May the 12th. I'll try to get a hold of...
At the Standard Garage,
and I'll try to get a hold of Paul if he hasn't left town and gone to work someplace. Now, that's about all the comments I got to make on it.
Okay, Stan.
I
get the right calendar. I might have to get that. Okay, it's 12th of May.
12th of May, Thursday.
Yeah, do you want to go back and rub part of that off?
Of a public character, and the fact that a fee is charged for the use of a public improvement does not make that use private. Ticket offices, waiting rooms, baggage rooms, inner spaces, an airport is the center or hub of the wheel of the aviation industry. In a particular locality, there is no question that all facilities must be furnished in and about a municipal airport in order that a complete operating unit may be obtained. any incidental use or incidental charges or incidental renting of spaces, of buildings, to promote aviation by extending the services of the airport and providing for complete facilities do not affect the character of an airport as a public purpose and public facility so long as the main public purpose of the airport is subserved. Paragraph. The statutes of the Territory of Alaska provide that when any municipal property shall be held for the public use or devoted thereto, that such land may not be alienated without the express consent of the voters ratifying an ordinance passed by the Common Council. The town has admitted in its answer, an amended answer, that the land in question has been devoted to use as an airport since July 21st, 1951, or 1931. The court, in its opinion, has admitted on page 121 that the town did use said tracks for airport purposes. The town, in its ordinance 238, page 33 of the transcript of record, has ordained that there be and hereby is established for the use of the city of Fairbanks, its inhabitants, and of visiting aircraft arriving at the city of Fairbanks, Alaska, a municipal airport for the dispatch, landing, storing, and servicing of aircraft of all types, that said airport shall be available for use by public, private, and commercial aircraft. In view of these admissions and holdings, there can be no question but that Weeksfield has constituted an operating airport since July 21st, 1931. In view of the language of the Territory of Alaska, we must conclude that the land constituting the airport has been devoted to use as an airport since July 21st, 1931. This use has been admitted by the City of Fairbanks in their answer to have been continuous. Plaintiffs contend, therefore, that since Weeksfield has been devoted to use for airport purposes for 20 years, that under the statute of the territory, providing for elections pertaining to the sale of airport property or other property devoted to the public use, that in view of the holding of the court, that a valid election was not held, any conveyance of Weeksfield or any closure of Weeksfield is therefore invalid. Two propositions are included in the statute. First, the land held for public use, and secondly, as for land devoted to public use. There can be no question that Weeksfield has been devoted to public use and an election is required. The court further, plaintiff contends that the court erred in holding that property acquired for a particular purpose and then devoted to that purpose and so used for 20 years did not constitute a devotion or dedication to the public use sufficient to place it under the definition of property held for or devoted to the public use. See page 133 of the transcript of record. The record shows, without exception, that the town acquired the land subsequently used for Weeks Field as public property and for airport purposes, and acceptance thereof is made in the deeds to the town of Fairbanks from Gillum and from the Rickards up to the year 1931 and in the year 1940. The town did, in fact, establish an airport. The court thus erred in holding that the city of Fairbanks, acknowledging these facts, could by ordinance dated 17 of September 1951 negative an intention of a city council acting on the 10th day of August 1922, when that council accepted lands and acquired it from private owners for airport purposes. The intention of that council acting in the year 1927 can be evidenced only by the written act and deed of that council, as is recorded on page 21 of the transcript of record, and stating, quote, a deed from Statius and Paul Rickard giving the city for airport purposes 5.2 acres of land from their homestead was read, and it was moved by Kennedy, seconded by Gilcher, that the gift be accepted, carried, quotation close. Paragraph. The plaintiff contends that the lower court erred and acted outside the pleadings. And the issues of the case in deciding that Chapter 27, Session Laws of Alaska, 1945, might sell industrial sites without benefit of election or other approval by the legislature or the town, and in violation of the provisions of statute which govern the sale of property which has been devoted to the public use. Parenthesis, you will notice that the record of this court on page 121 admits the use of the property for airport purposes. It is conclusive that if the town may take any property owned by it and which is actually being used for a public purpose, and upon the designation of the Common Council that the same is an industrial site, sell and dispose of the same, that the provisions of 16.135 relating to the sale of property actually devoted to the public use would be rendered null and void and of no force and effect whatsoever. The unequivocal language of the second paragraph of Chapter 16.1-35 provides that the Common Council, in order to make available sites for the installation and operation thereon of new industries, which will benefit the civic welfare of the municipality, may likewise acquire, own, and hold such sites, including real property, either within or without the corporate limits, and may sell, lease, or dispose thereof upon such terms or conditions as may be deemed advantageous to the civic welfare of the municipality, to such persons, associations, co-partnerships, or corporations as will agree to install, maintain, and operate thereon new industries, and such sites shall not be deemed to be held property acquired, owned, or held for any public use or devoted thereto. The court below has failed to recognize that in this case, the town council did not acquire the airport as a site for new industries and did not hold such a site for the installation of new industries. In order for the land in question to have come under the provisions of this section, it would have been necessary for the town council to acquire the land as a site for new industry, even though the same had been acquired as a site for a new industry. It is plain that if the town council, acting in its private capacity, had decided to devote any such site for a public purpose, that the town council would have been within its rights to do so. Once, however, having devoted the land to a public use, it then became subject to the first paragraph of 16.135.20 and would necessarily require an election before the same could be validly disposed of. It seems to the plaintiffs that when the town has devoted particular real property to a public use, and that its citizens, in reliance thereon, have built their businesses around and in connection with such public use, that the town council alone, acting under the authority of the laws of the territory of Alaska, could not validly dispose of the same without first having, after passed and passing an ordinance, deleting the use, refer the question to the voters in accordance with the provisions of law.
You're not just accepting that because I suggested.
No, because I had to get it from I got it from my friend in here, because I didn't exactly have that enough money.
Who'd you get it from, Jim?
I got it from Harvey.
That'd be on Wednesday. This is Friday. That'd be on just this last Wednesday.
Yeah, because I paid him the next day.
And this is Friday the 10th.
Yes.
So it'd be about the 7th or 8th, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Who? What did I subpoena him for? Who's he?
Mom says he still lives there, but of course he hasn't for weeks.
Well, he wasn't subpoenaed, though.
Yeah,
the hell he wasn't. Well, who did that?
Isn't that Rod
Lauren? Do you want to turn off the tape recorder?